The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
Hey, welcome, everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Let's call this one the 5th of December. How about that? On a day where, I got to tell you, a market surprised a lot of people. How often do you see the market go up as much as it did with Apple down as much as it was today? And I got to tell you, that was a story in and of itself. A lot going on there, including the fact that Facebook is being added to the NASDAQ, which means that there's going to be a trade there. Indexers have got to get out of NASDAQ stocks enough to be able to buy enough Facebook to place into the index. It's one of the reasons that the entire NASDAQ is under pressure, not only because Apple is down and was down as much as it was, which, is, by the way, is now in what they call bear market territory. How about that? But got a good show for you today. Got Alan Rohrbeck stopping by today. Give us a little insight into what's going on, both technically and maybe fundamentally. Get that view from 30,000 feet, like I like to call it. And but let's go into it. You know, China today had its best day in 3 months. It's the way we started off today. It's the way we started off the Wednesday. How about that? All right, middle of the night, we were going up big. In fact, I got a call from, I've got a lot of contacts around the world these days that I've been dealing with because I'm in so many different deals, fuel deals, whatever the case might be. And one of our deals is dealing with about 6 different time zones. And we're dealing with Sydney, Hong Kong. I've got Prague. I've got London, New York, Chicago. Let me see what else. And then San Francisco at times. San Francisco's not in on all of them. But that coordination of time zones is absolutely fascinating to me. But sure enough, I heard last night one of our people from Asia said, get ready, folks. You guys are going to have a good day tomorrow. And I said, why? He said, because our market is going up big today. And they were talking about the Shanghai Index. Something's happening over there, folks. Remember, it's been what I've been talking about now for a while. And that is that you are getting what I call the cult of personality effect. New leaders into China that are bringing in that whole optimism, but more importantly, it's been manipulated. Look, I'm not gonna call myself, an expert on Chinese government, but I am gonna say that I'm a student of politics, and that much that I do know. I do know that they create that cult of personality around their leaders. So look for more of that to happen. But the real leadership today, if you noticed, came out of financials. How about it? Citibank, up big today. Bank of America, up big today. Guess what? You need financials to do well if this market is going to go up. You know, it's one of the things that people didn't realize. You know, first of all, Citibank is cutting 11,000 jobs, right? Well, you know, you would think that that's not good for the market or that's not good for the bank. First of all, it's something that's needed to be done for quite a while. Namely, if you think about it, these are jobs that in many cases Dodd-Frank is outlawing. So here you go. You're in a situation where Dodd-Frank is forcing the issue. And what jobs am I talking about, folks? Look, I'm not talking politics here. I'm just telling you, you have a rule change that is forcing institutions to get out of certain businesses, plain and simple. Banks primarily being the target in the crosshairs of the new rules and that are being adopted. So I guess what it really means is that all of that speculative trading, all of the brain surgeons and the rocket scientists that they had on staff that were giving them all the algorithms that they needed to make money off of our money, which is really what it is when you've got your money into a bank. You know, they're paying you an interest rate on it, but more importantly, they're making more money on that. That's the spread by which they end up staying in business. Those people are being let go because our Dodd-Frank amendment or the Dodd-Frank rule or whatever you want to call it has now told us that that is illegal for a large bank to do that. Well, you know, I got to tell you, folks, you know what, that's a real gray area. And maybe I will get a little political here. You know, another situation in which the government had absolutely not a single clue what they were doing when they brought that up. You know, the reality is that they can't even write rules, all right, that surround what they're trying to do because it's impossible. It's next to impossible. Look, can they do it? Sure, they can write all the rules they want. Can they enforce them? Probably not. It's a lot like the downtick rule. You know, people ask me all the time, why don't they bring the downtick rule back in? Bottom line is this, they can't enforce it. they don't have the police force to enforce that rule. You know how I know that? Because back in the old days when they took it out, they took it out for a reason. They took it out because the automated trading. They took it out because the order entry level was so quick. The turnover was so much on these stocks that it was next to impossible to police. And the universe of traders is so big. So all you can really do is create what we call speed bumps. No, people out there don't realize that. That's why whenever I hear this whole thing about going back to the way it was, I always think to myself, what are you going to turn off the computers? That's impossible. You can never go back. I always tell my kid, I can never go back to living in the fraternity house. You know, and I always joked about that. But there was there's a reality, you know, based in that statement. Okay? I mean, look, after you move out, you can't move back in. It doesn't work that way. And I guess what I'm trying to say is that we have a situation right now that is very compelling for me. You know, and look, when we're looking at all of the situation here as it's playing out, and I'm glad that Alan Rohrbach's going to come in a little while here and kind of go over everything with us, because the situation between China, between the fact that we now have some certainty with the Merkel re-election in Europe, and I say Europe, it's really Germany, but when I talk about Europe, I'm talking about Germany. That's all that really matters. But all of that is now creating what I seem to think is the basis for that perfect storm. Now, if these guys in Washington can only get out of their own way, that would make us, I guess, all very happy. The one thing that we are getting, by the way, and I don't know if you've noticed it over the course of the last day, is the fact that you're getting some more Republicans that are defecting and going back to what they call the tax rate compromise. So I guess what they're doing is they're telling Grover Norquist and the pledge that they took, you know what, as much as we like that pledge, maybe serving the American people is a little bit more important, you know what I mean, than the partisan politics, which that really encompasses. And all of that, folks, is really, you know, I guess, you know, being manifested not only by our president, but also by the Speaker of the House, which, you know, incidentally, is trying to be as, I guess, flexible as possible in a situation that doesn't allow him for a lot of flexibility. But, you know, anyway, going back to what President Obama was saying earlier today, he was talking to the CEOs on the fiscal cliff, and he made a point of saying something in that address where he wanted to make sure that whatever happened, that the negotiations were not tied to the debt ceiling. Believe it or not, folks, it's one of the few times where we've actually seen the president come out and say something, and the market reacted well to it. How about that? That, you know what? I was looking for something bad. The market was down about 20 or 30 points when he came out. We saw about a 150-point Dow rally based off of what the president said. Now, some people will say it wasn't what the president said. I happen to think that it had something to do with that. You know why? Because it was one of the few times, whether you agree with him or not, that you actually got some real leadership. He sounded like a leader when he said, I'm not going to play that game. Again, you know what? Regardless of what you think, it's leadership that's been lacking here, and one of the reasons why we desperately are looking for it. Getting back to the Facebook issue, Facebook is being added to the NASDAQ, folks. What does that mean? Well, if you are an indexer in the NASDAQ, you have to balance out that index primarily because, you know, what that is by charter what you are entitled or entrusted to do. So now what these indexers have to do is to sell a certain amount of their overall holdings in NASDAQ and Apple to raise enough money to buy the Facebook that's being added into the index. That is the trade, by the way, that the risk arbs will be playing from now until December 12th when Facebook is added into the NASDAQ. So what's that trade? Well, you're long Facebook and you're short the QQQs against it, which are, of course, represents the ETF that represents the entire NASDAQ. Or basically, you know, you do the NASDAQ futures contract, which I'd be more inclined to do myself. But again, when I'm telling you about these things, folks, you you know, do your own homework. Yeah, I actually wrote about this trade in my book because I used to do this every time a stock was being put into the S&P 500, the Russell 2000, whatever it might be. Remember, indexers need that stock. Once it's put in, they don't care. They really are. They're oblivious. You know, they're agnostic at that point. They just need it in. It doesn't matter at what price it goes in. So what you do is you try to get a bit of a jump on the indexers and try to get a feel for what's going on. But speaking of feels for what's going on, let's bring Alan Rohr back in here. Alan, you know what? You've been right on these markets. We've been talking about trading in a range. You know, you've been telling us basically that we're probably going to be stuck in this range until we get some clear decision. And sure enough, that's exactly where we've been. Let's take these last couple of minutes of this first segment and just talk a little bit about the fiscal cliff, what's going on, and how the markets are reacting to that. Give me your assessment. Number one, do you think that this is going to get solved before the end of the year? And then number two, you know, what is going to be the effect if we do go over? Because the stock market is telling me they don't think it's going to happen.
Well, first of all, Jack, substantially the technical view, you know, I have my own fundamental opinions, but the technical view is very consistent with your fundamental view, which is it is a binary situation. You know, as our listeners know, that means that it's going to be very good or very bad. There is no middle ground here because, as you see, even the further negotiations, and I've allowed in research and the blog posts I put out recently, this could all be a giant kabuki dance. They're all shadow dancing, trying to play to their base. And behind the scenes, there's more compromise than we could know. But based on what we're seeing at the surface level, there is a actual hardening of positions of party leaders. And that is the dilemma. For instance, just out of yesterday into today, the Republicans saying absolutely zero increase in capital gains taxes, where, you know, that's one of the main things Obama wanted to see increased. Now, the problem is, if you don't have a compromise, you go from 15%
to 43%
to the normal income rate.
43%, Alan. And Jack, you know, we were going through it yesterday with these mega dividends that are being released by these companies.
Exactly the point.
You know,
exactly.
I mean,
not only that they're being released,
it's crazy.
It's the people who are taking them at the top end are just the tip of the iceberg of how many other managers are all getting paid on those dividends as well. And I can wrap up this segment with something I know you'll like because it's another little bit of a perverse twist on static tax revenue analysis. And all these people are saying, well, we're going to hike the dividend tax and we're going to hike the income tax and saying, look at how much money we're going to raise across 10 years. Well, to the policy wonks who, as you have noted on many occasions, have never run a business, have never run an investment portfolio, they say, look, this hike in taxes on the rich is the light at the end of the tunnel, not realizing that light is the next freight train coming down the tunnel at them, not daylight.
Here's the irony, and this is, I guess, what people don't realize, because I saw it happen, you know, in my lifetime. I saw it happen during, you know, when tax rates went higher during the Carter years. You'll see these millionaires all of a sudden with incomes that are down around $100,000 or $200,000.
You bet.
That's exactly what's going to happen. You and I know this.
That's
and
right.
It's going to be deferred. You know, Dr. Art Laffer wrote a wonderful piece about when policy is I guess, thought to be erroneous, what happens is that you end up with profitability that either gets pushed ahead or pushed further out.
Pulled forward or pushed out.
Yes. And I think what we're seeing right now is, as you described, at the tip of the iceberg, but for me, is going to be a huge problem for these people that are counting their chickens before they're hatched.
You will not have the tax revenues in 2013. And then they're going to have to step back. Well, now what do we do? Now, there are historic corollaries. We can get to that shortly. There's some amazing historic corollaries that relate to this. But the real bottom line is I do not believe we'll have a deal by the end of the year, but I do not believe the market will suffer greatly because this is where the president and the Democrats think they have a great edge in blaming the Republicans. And my, once again, somewhat perverse reality view is they're going to blame the Republicans for raising taxes on everybody because they wouldn't raise taxes on the top 2%. The Republican, don't forget, you don't have a lame duck Republican House. It's substantially all the same people. They come in on January 2nd as all this is biting, and they will have this planned, and they'll be stealthy about it. They will pass a bill that temporarily suspends all the increases and put in front of the president and go, okay, you were saying there's going to be such damage? You can stop it temporarily. The Republican House will pass a bill on January 2nd that they had up their sleeve or whatever process committees take to get it out of committee. Before we get to the end of the first full week in January, there'll be a bill from the Republicans that will say we are temporarily rescinding all of the tax hikes. Here, Mr. President, you want to sign that or you want to let things carry on while we negotiate? Well, that is the trick.
Here's the real question. Does the president really care? And, you know, and I say that only because the more I'm hearing this dogmatic opinion of how the upper 2% has got to have their tax, the more I'm starting to think that he just doesn't get it.
It's back to something I included in my last couple blog posts. I revisited our term, taxulationism.
No,
it's here. We've got it. We're stuck with it. We're going to have to find a way to fight it and adjust it.
It's like luggage. I can never get rid of it. All right, we're going to take a few minutes, come back, and talk a little bit about China, Europe. A lot going on here.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull and Bear Institute. Bull and Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. On a day where we had some good economic data that came out a little while ago, and with it, of course, we saw the markets reacting. In fact, they reacted down in the beginning of the day, and then we saw the market turn around later on in the day. But really, for me, today's real story coming in was China. When you look at it, the Shanghai Composite had its best day in 3 months. But more importantly, and this is what I think a lot of people will pay attention to, China, the Shanghai Index and the Hong Kong Index both went up together. It's something that you don't see lately because usually one has been going up and one's been going down, but they haven't been working in tandem together. But Alan, I know you're a watcher of things out there in China. And,
sure.
What do you think is happening out there? Do you think that we're seeing – is this the beginning of the soft landing? I mean, there's some good things being said out there by the leadership.
There is, and especially the new leader there looks like he's very much trying to clean house on the bureaucracy. And that means that he has basically said, hey, let the flowers wilt. We don't care. Get to work and make sure permits, make sure, you know, various government agency functions are in good order. There's been, and as you point out, Jack, near the end of one regime there, you tend to get a bit of show and a bit of victory lap for whatever they've accomplished and a bit of direction for the new guys. But you also, because of that, have had a lot of ceremonies and a lot of red carpet and a lot of dinners. The new guys coming in and going, fine, fun time's over, time to get back to work, which
right.
is productive. And it means basically the people involved in commerce in China who were worried it was lapsing back into a little more of a, you know, party-centric, bureaucratic malaise are seeing probably just what they need to see, not just for the state spending, which they are going to curtail a bit because they want to move toward more private investment and private consumption.
The rhetoric that is coming out, you know, from the leadership leads me to believe that they are pro-growth, that this Chinese growth story is not something that is
it's not yesterday's news.
It's not yesterday's news, but more importantly, it's not in its hard crash landing, which a lot of detractors are out there pushing for. I mean, you know, there are a lot of naysayers with China, Alan, you know that.
Yeah, I do. And I'm also, here's the dilemma with China. It will not get as bad as the naysayers, but it will also not rebound to previous levels. I think China's a bit of a neutral, but that's a plus because it was perceived as a negative. The bigger issue, just given the size of the Chinese economy versus U.S., you know, Muhammad El-Aryan, among others, has said this many times, there is no delinking. But don't look for emerging markets to rescue developed economies.
That's right.
The relative proportion is much bigger. And one of the key instances there, one of the key previous analogous instances I talked about tax increases, is what Japan did to itself.
Yeah, you know what? You were mentioning that in the break. Why don't you mention that? Look, only because we are in Asia right now and we're talking about China. But you said that there was a good analogy between what's happening here and what the Japanese did. And remember, what we're trying to do in many ways is avoid what the Japanese did, because as an officer of a Japanese bank, I can tell you right now, it was not a very good time to be there.
Well, and that's the real point, is that that was that train that I said, the light coming at them in the tunnel is not the light at the end out into the broad, uplit, sunny uplands of economic growth, but rather the next train coming down the track at them in the tunnel. And the dilemma is that tax increases in a relatively weak economy, and we still have a relatively weak economy, the growth is not up to the pace we would like, is going to derail it. And the Japanese, after the bust in 1990, spent several years where they were only just getting back to better growth. And in April of 1997, they decided that, you know, we really need to balance our budget, and they pushed their consumption tax, like our sales tax, up from 3% to 5%. And the subsequent growth went from 1.6% in 97 down to a minus 2% in 1998. It's scary. And the point there, and
but,
I watched
yeah,
this.
But let's qualify that. 98 was also the Russian ruble crisis. If I remember correctly, Yeltsin's government almost collapsed then. I guess what I'm trying to say is Japan has a very strong.
You also had in 97, you had a bit of an Asian crisis as well.
That's right.
But even factoring that in, that is a bigger swing than you would have expected just from a near-term crisis.
And that's a huge swing from up 1.6% to minus 2%.
Right,
I
for
mean,
the
that's,
year.
That's
over, a full year.
That's over
not
3.5%.
On a quarter, you had a bad quarter.
Right.
And the point is, I watched this very closely, and it relates to the corporate dividend and bonuses and sales of stock we're seeing right now in the U.S. And what happened is, up through March of 1997, in fact, Japanese retail sales increased pretty markedly, and I didn't believe it for a minute, but a lot of people were going around saying, you know what, Japan's a pretty rich culture. Maybe they finally got the consumption bug. Maybe they're more American now, and they like spending, and they don't care about the taxes on it. Jack, you literally saw the Japanese, everyone forgot how disciplined the Japanese are, and I say that as a compliment, April 1st, 1997, they snapped the purse strings shut. You had year-on-year comparisons of down 15 and 20% in retail sales. The Japanese went out and brought every car, washer, dryer, mixer, blender, television they needed. Before the end of March 97, you got to April 1st. They said, not interested.
So you think that all of this, I guess, the accelerated dividends and everything that we're seeing right now, all it's really going to do is play out to the point where there are less dividends being issued over the course of the next year, less tax revenue being collected.
Right.
And everything that they're trying to do, all right, is going to be undone by moving everything forward the way they have been.
The Japanese deficit went up instead of down in 1998. They did not. The higher taxes were counterproductive.
So,
and we're back to taxulationism, Jack. You were talking about Dr. Laffer before. You want to raise taxes, and here it is incredible. You know, and I don't want to be too much of a zealot about it, but there is no doubt the EPA held off on a whole series of enforcement actions into the election that are accelerating again. So you got taxation, regulation. The protectionism is a minor factor.
You know what? Don't say that, because I'll tell you right now, I got a handful of people up in Calgary that are screaming.
Really?
Screaming, all right? And building a pipeline now out to Vancouver so that they can ship their bitumen that they pull out of the ground,
right,
and turn into crude to China instead of giving it to us through the Keystone Pipeline. They are absolutely furious at this administration.
Well, it's right. It's not a higher it's again, that's the regulatory side. There's your EPA saying if it harms one thing. You know, I saw an interesting, and I forget the exact name of the town, but an interesting little television news blurb about a town in Arizona that had a water main break, but it feeds from out of the mountains, and they're blocking repair and reconstruction of the water main because it might impact the habitat of an owl.
No.
They are putting a town out of business. So this is what we've got, you know.
Well, here, I'll give you a flip side of it, though. Here, today we saw a city announce 11,000 job cuts, directly, in my mind, associated with the Dodd-Frank amendment, the fact that they can no longer be proprietary traders. These are all the brain surgeons and the rocket scientists. They went out and you know, recruited from the University of Chicago's of the world, you know what I mean?
Right.
And guess what? The stock went up 5%. On that news. You know, here they are. I guess what I'm trying to say is we're putting people out on the street. We're making these banks a little leaner. We're cutting their profitability down.
That is the real point. You're cutting their potential future profitability because you can't make the kind of money those banks' capital bases need to generate if you're restricting M&A, which in an uncertain environment, M&A goes away. They can't trade anymore.
They can't even hedge
they
anymore.
They can only make what they can make off consumer banking. And Citi cut back substantially on that in Europe.
Well, you know,
they're becoming
you know,
less international.
You and I know that we as consumers are the ones that are going to end up paying the difference on all of that, Alan.
All right,
let's take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Europe and then talk technicals on this S&P market, which is caught in this range. Today was a good indicator. Even though we saw some good strength in the day, it is still in a range. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody, again on this Wednesday, where we saw some strength in the market 2 days before the unemployment number. Look, you know, that unemployment number, which, by the way, with the ADP number a little better than expected today, we saw some upward revisions and expectations for Friday's number. I think that listening to a couple of economists, Brian Westbury, who I love, by the way, I think Brian Westbury is absolutely tremendous, has now got his number up around 110. Let's see if he's right. Alan, give me your take, my man. You know, not only on the job situation, but, you know, we've got obviously this whole situation in Europe now starting to, if nothing else, calm down in my mind. But you were saying something in the break here, which I found fascinating. You said that this fiscal cliff is a series of things and events. It's not just one event. Why'd you explain that a little bit and elaborate, and then maybe talk and give us your views on technicals in the market and where you think things are going right now?
Well, that's exactly the point, Jack, which is the fiscal cliff is the high-profile, almost a distraction from everything that's coming next year, such as taxes are going up. Some degree of government spending is going to drop. Now, there was an excellent summary of QE, ECB, Fed, a fiscal cliff, taxulationism and the various things we say relate to it by a guy I really like, who is McIntosh, James McIntosh of the FT. I had a post yesterday at Roar Blog. That's Roar-blog. You can just search engine that, ROHR-blog, and you'll get to Roar International's blog. And do click into that post. It's not that long. It's a fairly decent read, but there is a link to the online FT article that has a video in there as well. Aside from the article being good, about how corporate earnings are being downgraded, but the equities are holding up. And I think two things are going on, Jack. One is something you have visited quite often. Look, valuation multiples are still extremely attractive, especially in a zero interest rate policy. The portfolio managers have to show they're earning money somewhere. Even if they're having a mediocre performance, they can't show zero return because no one's paying a fee to make zero.
That, by the way, is the answer I give to the people that keep asking me why the market won't break because they're looking at this bad news. I tell them it's because of the suppressed valuation. But continue, please, Alan.
Well, the other aspect of that is, of course, the degree to which people are hopeful that at least the immediate stressor, which is the fiscal cliff, more so than Europe. You know, a quick word on Europe is they fudged a deal that was so incredibly twisted to get Greeks the money it needed. It's the beginning of debt forgiveness in Europe. And, you know, I was on before that deal was finalized last week. They have given Greece an additional 15-year extension of maturities, 10 years, you don't pay anything. Where were these guys when I was negotiating my mortgage, Jack? Well,
they've set the precedent, haven't they, for Spain, for Portugal, and for everybody else that comes to the window right with their hand open.
So as you said for a while, Europe, as failure is not an option, what they've done is, in a stealth manner, put it on the creditors and people who are getting paid back out of Greece and Spain and the like are going to take the hit.
See, I think of it a little differently, Alan. I think of it as like indentured servitude. You know what I mean? This is new. This is modern feudalism is what it is. You've got now countries that are beholden, all right, to the ECB and to the Troika. And now it's like a little it's modern feudalism in many ways. And I
it
think
is.
You know what? But anyway, that's my own little take on it.
Goes back to the old saying, the golden rule means he who
holds the gold,
has
makes,
the gold
the rules.
Makes the rules.
Yeah, there you go.
And so the Germans say, we're going to take the hit, but you guys are going to stop spending. And that's what it's going to be. And Greece is going into its sixth year of recession next year.
So they can say it now that Merkel's been reelected. She doesn't have to worry about reelection.
Well, the election is actually next fall.
But she's already been
done. No, it's a done deal.
It's a done deal, yeah.
It's a done deal.
She went through the preliminary process, I guess, is the important part, isn't it?
Right. As they used to say, politicians who are kind of Teflon, they'd have to find her in a motel room with two dead boys or something like that.
Don't say, God forbid. You don't want to hear that. But
one of those things.
You know, I equate it to the primary in Chicago. You know what I mean? Whoever won the Democratic primary was the de facto mayor. It didn't matter who they were going to run against.
Right, exactly. So the bottom line, though, on the fiscal cliff is that there are a whole series of things that are happening. The increased taxes from Obamacare, the increased top rate of taxes. Taxes are going up substantially whether we go off the fiscal cliff or not. The fiscal cliff is just an exaggerated, sharp increase that will, as I mentioned, I think if it happens, everyone will point the finger, but the Republican House, everyone forgets, even more so than the Senate, which is the more august body ostensibly, elected for longer periods, more senior people. The House holds the power of the purse. I think they'll have it up their sleeve and have it out there pronto. They will announce it right away. It will be passed into law in the House and forward to the Senate and the President immediately that, here you go, we're going to rescind all this for 90 days, and then we're going to get back to it. It's going to wreak havoc with any manner of things like planning. It's going to continue to depress investment.
Well, it's going to create
this
dysfunctional government.
But the bottom line is that the President playing brinksmanship and having things actually go off the cliff and saying it's the Republicans' fault. They wanted to help the 2%. The bottom line is the Republican House will come right back because that's where all of the bills regarding income and revenue and debt come from.
Got to go back to your Constitution class, folks.
That's
remember
it, folks.
That. All right, eighth grade Constitution
class.
They
will come in with something and they will say, here you go. And as the economy, as people are saying, My taxes are through the roof. I'm not spending any money. As businesses are saying, there's no way we're going to invest. Republicans are going to say, here, we can put it on hold for 90 days. Sign it, or it's up to you. They will overplay their hand, the Democrats, as we've seen so many times. That's what the 2010 election was
about. What happens if that doesn't happen, Alan? Give me a scenario.
Well, if we don't go off the cliff, if they compromise before that, let's say.
No, I'm talking about if we do go off the cliff and they don't do that.
They'll do it when the S&P is down at 1320.
Okay.
They'll do it.
Okay, let's reverse that then. Let's go back to it. What if there's a deal made? What if we see a handshake? Do you agree with what Dr. Siegel was saying on TV the other day from Wharton, where we could see a 1,000-point rally in the Dow?
I think you could see easily a 50-point rally. I think you get back up around those
50 S&P points, that is.
50 S&P points. I think we could. Well, a 1,000-point rally in the Dow.
That would be about 100 S&P points.
About 100 S&P points. I think more like 50 because everyone's going to say, well, you've got a deal, and there'll be the immediate euphoria, and everyone's going to say, great, what now? And I think the focus then will shift to, what does this really mean? It means taxes are going up. See, the average person right now, I think when the market is going to anticipate what the average person will come to understand, when they go see their tax advisor for next year, and he says, great, here's this year's filing, here is your first quarter estimates. Tax advisors who are credible at all are going to tell people, don't forget, you got to start putting away 25 or 30% more for your taxes each quarter this year. That's going to bite. And the market knows it. And the people are not, you know, the Americans, God bless them, they aren't oriented toward planning ahead. You'll probably have a very good holiday season. You'll get out into January. Things will be typically a little slow at retail. Then everyone's expecting to pick up. Wait till everyone gets their estimated tax forms and says, here you go. And they're all going to go, oh, my goodness.
Taxes, schmaxes, come on.
Look at what's happened to us in Illinois, Jack.
Dollars, taxes. I got an uncle in Dallas, Texas. Anyway, so.
So that's the technical on the S&P. It's all still about short-term.
Let's do this. Let's take a couple of minutes before you go there. All right, take a break. And then when we come back, I want to talk technicals in the S&Ps. I also want to talk a little bit about bonds, some copper, nat gas. A lot of things going on out there. A lot of markets moving. This is the Jack B. Show, folks. Make sure you can follow us on Facebook and on Twitter. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this Wednesday. Strange day today. Yeah, it came off, started out with a little weakness, even though we saw some good news coming out of China. Then when Europe closed, right after the president started speaking, we saw the market turn around, saw a nice rally midday. and leaves us kind of in the middle of nowhere. But I'll tell you, even with all of that, there still seems to be some good moves taking place. Nat gas, $3.71, folks. Do you remember when we were talking about nat gas? It was down around $2. I mean, what a move we have seen there. Gold seems to have stabilized a little bit after the big drop we saw yesterday. Again, from what I hear, folks, and this is, I guess, what the spies tell me, there's an ETF position that is being unloaded, which is driving the market down there. But Alan, hey, what are you looking at? We got Alan Rohrbach here, and of course, he's always good with his, you know, technicals. And Alan, you're probably one of the most prolific bloggers I know that's out there. And give me your take for technicals, both in the S&Ps and maybe, you know, for a couple of these other markets that we've been looking at.
Well, the technicals in the S&P are pretty straightforward. The burden of proof is on the bears. I mean, you know, we can have our concerns about the fiscal cliff. I'm concerned about what's coming next year. But as we mentioned in the last segment, you know, the dilemma is if you don't get a deal on the fiscal cliff across time, that's why the market's stuck here right now. It knows, they all know they've got till the middle of this month. They have through the end of next week, essentially. You know, you're going to get out to December 14th. That's when the real crunch hits. And you see, well, does each side cave a little bit and stop playing to their base? And if they even have an agreement in principle, it might be very good for the market.
Here's what's confusing me, Alan. All right. The stock market is telling me by the way it's acting that we're going to see either a deal or it's going to be kicked down the road. The bond market, which is under 160 on the 10-year, is telling me that we're going to see a recession. You know what? I am just completely baffled by this. And on top of that, you know, if I look at the volatility index, you know, you're looking at the VIX, there's no fear. So nobody seems to be afraid of anything.
Well, that's true because right now everybody is saying it's stuck here. It's part of the binary decision is not. And I found this interesting. I was speaking with Greg Hadley of Bull and Bear Institute, as you know, is an extremely talented and experienced options specialist.
He's a good options trader.
And right before the election, I said, well, it'd be interesting to put on an options play here, the double option, you know, both a call and a put, a little bit out of the money. But I imagine in front of the election, the premiums are in the sky. He said, no, they're cheap. And I went, what? And I said, you know what? People have lost interest in betting on the market moving big. And then when it does move big,
they're not there and they're not in.
They're not in. And then the VIX doesn't balloon up as much. There aren't people trapped. It's very strange.
It is very strange. I mean, to the point now where I've got to step back. And some of the old relationships between volatility and the way the market acts have got to be reexamined and reevaluated.
Absolutely. But even more so on the trend view side. It is a binary decision, Jack. If we get an agreement, your minimum is 1430. You get above that, there isn't really much till 1450-60. Now, I don't know if Professor Siegel's right that 1,000 points in the Dow, which would be 100 points in the S&P, are you going straight to 1500? I think there's other things to discount that the market will restrain the market back up around those old highs around 1460 or 65. On the other hand, if you don't get a deal, our key level is still 1,387. This is going to be December futures, folks. I know it's getting closer to expiration, but they're the lead contract. You want to have the equivalent for March, subtract around $4. There's usually a discount in that second month. But if you're below 1,387 on a close, that could put you back to 1,350 to 1,320 range, which we saw right after the election before everyone came out with happy talk after that November 16th Friday meeting with the president. What does this mean to the other markets? Jack, it's not just here. You know, you'd think with things improving in Europe, the German Bund would take the hit. German Bund, the March contract, which is going to come front month tomorrow. They have a very early expiration in these quarterly months. The quarterly futures in December is going to expire. Instead of trading at a typical 0.75 point to full point discount to the December contract that's around the mid 143 level, mid 142 level, the March contract's trading at almost a 2-point premium.
What does that mean?
That means the higher the price goes, it means a yield
is lower.
Back down toward 1% on German Bunds.
So they're looking at a yield a lot lower,
right?
3 months further out.
And the key level to watch in our futures, which most people are more interested in, which have been very resilient, the December contract. Now, the March contract's about a 0.5-point discount. That creates a little more of a challenge on the upside. But December T-note is trading right around 134. That's a very significant resistance. Starts getting more above that by more than 0.25 point, which on the way it's quoted in 30 seconds would be above 134.08, 134 and 830 seconds, you're going to end up with a market that looks like it's going up another full point or more for, again, for a lower yield. And here's the where the rubber meets the road. In past circumstances, the equities trade on optimistic expectations so they can stay up at the same time the bonds stay up, which you know classically is not the case. Equities
right.
up normally depresses
bonds.
Bonds stay up because bonds are trading off looking around the real world. And if you really take a good look, even at these improved PMIs in Europe, you know, the surprising improvement in German and even Spanish services PMI, it's still well below 50. They're saying, well, we're a little bit less recessionary. And I think the bonds are looking at the real world investment environment and saying things are still scary. They're getting a certain amount of haven flows out of equities or cash. And the equities are a forced investment because of the zero interest rate. You can't make money anywhere else.
Alan, I got about a minute left here. Is there another market you're looking at that seems to be just, you know, on your radar screen?
Watch two things closely. One, U.S. dollar index. This is cash now. It got below 80. Everyone always loves the big pennies, right, Jack? Oh, look, 80 even. And they're very often not key technical levels. The key technical level for the dollar index, down around 79 even. The entire upward channel. Now, technically, folks, that's where the market has run up and down, moving up in an angle, but has hit the top and bottom of the trend line and what's called the return line. The channel support off the big low in the summer of 2011 is right around the 79 area. So you actually have to be below $79 index. The other thing I'm watching closely with this election coming up in Japan and maybe a lot more QE and easing there, the Japanese yen, the dollar versus the Japanese yen, is up to about the 82, even the upper 82 area. And if it pulls back, I think it has good support around 81.5 to 81. That's probably going to hold. I'd look for significant longer-term weakening in the yen. That's more of an investment play.
That's good stuff, Alan. I like that. You know, we didn't even get a chance to talk Forex, although tomorrow we will be talking Forex. Hopefully, if all goes well, we have got a Forex expert that is going to come on, and we'll be talking about that. Alan, always a pleasure, my friend, having you on.
Mine as well, too.
And, you know, for the rest of you out there, pay attention coming into tomorrow to see if indeed China has some traction with the rally that they saw last night. That'll give you an idea as to whether it's for real or not. This is Jack Baruch, and have yourselves a wonderful night. We'll be talking to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.